You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program, everyone. I'm your host, James Edwards. Keith Alexander still in studio with us for the first part of this second hour. It's Saturday night, July the 6th. And we're coming to you live from our AM affiliate tier, our flagship station in Memphis, Tennessee, and going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations across the country of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online to a worldwide audience that only grows each and every week. Another stirring song there at the top of the second hour. We played My Country Tis of Thee at the top of the show, Star Spangled Banner. I guess we know better than to ask our neighbors who Francis Scott Key is, since we know that nobody even knows the day or year that we wrote the Declaration of Independence, or that Jefferson did. Very excited about this hour. It's going to be a treat for me, as I mentioned during the first. My pastor is in the studio now, and we're going to bring him up at the top of the next segment. But first, I'm going to allow Keith Alexander a parting shot. He'll be leaving after this segment, and he'll be back with us, of course, next week. We talked pretty extensively last week about three significant Supreme Court rulings, and we're going to revisit the one on the Defense of Marriage Act. And I know it's a social issue, and a lot of people will email me and say, you know, you need to focus more on the hardcore stuff like immigration and sovereignty and things of that nature, because if you get those things worked out, then we can tinker with the social issues. As important as they are, they're not the most important. And I understand that, trade and all that other stuff. You know, that's important, but this is important too. And that's why we're going to spend another hour talking about it. And I think Pastor is going to come in and offer a fresh perspective and a unique take on this. But first, Keith, explain to the audience, or remind them, I guess I should say, why we're going to revisit this for a second week in a row, why it's so important, and some final things that you'd like to say that you didn't get a chance to work in last week, because last week was a very busy installment.
Well, thank you, James. I was talking with your pastor, David Rogers, and David made some very insightful comments, and it kind of led to a cross-fertilization of ideas, which is what we love to do here at the Political Cesspool. Basically, from a legal standpoint and from a practical standpoint, what is the left and what is the gay community in particular trying to accomplish through gay marriage? I remember several years ago, when it wasn't such a hot-button issue, hearing a comedian talking about gay marriage and saying, what's this about gay marriage? Haven't these people suffered enough? You know, think about gay couplings, okay? There's nothing more fragile, typically, than a gay relationship. I had a pair of salt-and-pepper gay people live next door, a gay couple, black and white. They had some wild parties over their house, and then they broke up, and we were picking up broken china from our backyard that they'd been flinging around at each other. for about 6 months after they broke up and left. Now, why would a gay person want to get married and then incur financial responsibilities for alimony, child support, and other things by getting married? Well, the reason is there are all sorts of collateral financial benefits for married people that they want to tap into, particularly employee benefits and Social Security benefits, and in particular, medical coverage. Under the employee benefit plans, your gay partner who may not work or may have some type of artsy job that does not have good employee benefits can tap into the partner's benefits that does have one of those good government jobs or with a large corporation where they have health insurance, for example, and get AIDS covered, other sexually transmitted diseases covered. What's the result of all that going to be? It's going to be an incredible new burden on an already overtaxed employee benefit system and on our healthcare system. We're going to have all sorts of new expenses for people that previously were not covered. They're suddenly going to be covered. Anybody can come in now and say, you know, they can say that they're a homosexual couple regardless of whether they are or not. They can, you know, you find someone else who is a male. Let's say that you have an extended family. You can, you know, if you can marry another man, you can certainly marry another man who's your cousin or, you know, or your nephew or somebody like that and say, we're a couple, and get health insurance coverage for that person. And I predict there will be a lot of that type of abuse. And I also predict that there's going to be unprecedented financial strain on insurance companies and on health insurance, employee benefit plans generally. And I think that's the practical aspect that a lot of people aren't talking about. And, you know, why else is this such a big deal? I know that with some leftists, they basically are interested in destroying the nuclear family. This is one of the things we've talked in the past about. What do all liberal, radical, egalitarian programs have in common, from the civil rights movement and school integration to gay marriage? Well, what they all do is suppress the white birth rate. For example, school racial integration. When they really started integrating the schools back in the early 70s, what was the natural instinctive response of many white couples? The response was to limit the size of their family to the number of children they could afford to send to private school. And normally that was darn few. When I was a kid, it was not uncommon whatsoever to see a normal Protestant, or not even a Catholic, but a Protestant family with four or five kids. Now, if you live in a place like the city of Memphis, and you're white, and you have four to five kids, they want to make a reality TV show about you, like the Duggars or something. You know, you're extraordinary. Because of this, we've seen things like the trophy child phenomenon, where a couple has one child that they pin all of their hopes and aspirations on. When a couple has one child, you, if in one generation, reduce the population by 50%. James.
Thank you for that, Keith, and thanks for your contributions tonight, sir, as always. Keith sliding out, Pastor sliding in. It's going to get a little bit hotter in the studio right after this. Stay tuned, everybody.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Hi, folks. It's Sam Bushman, host of the Liberty Roundtable Live radio talk show at libertyroundtable.com. Hey, I just discovered something that I want to let you in on. Are you familiar with the Get Prepared Preparedness Expo at usapreparers.com, put on by Vince Finelli and crew? I'm telling you right now, it's a who's who of the preparedness world. With a preparedness show, along with a SHOT show, all rolled into one, it's going to be an incredible event. When? July 19th, 20th, and 21st. Where? Lebanon, Missouri. Who? Well, me. I'm going to be there. Sam Bushman. I'm going to deliver my presentation, New Media Takes Center Stage. Who else? You. I'd like to invite you to personally attend and meet me and the other talk show hosts who will be in attendance. With over 100 instructors on all kinds of preparedness items, you just can't miss it. $18 for all 3 days online at usapreparers.com or $10 a day at the door. I'm going to be there. I hope to see you there. usapreparers.com.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. The number again, 801-216-4816.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, welcome back. As mentioned early in the show, my pastor, David Rogers, is in studio. Pastor is no stranger to this show. I know in the early years of our run, he came on fairly regularly, almost always at Christmas time, to do a Christmas reading from the scriptures. And more recently, Pastor was with us last fall. He shared in the interview that we had with Ray Stevens, the legendary country music singer and Grammy Award-winning artist. And just this past Easter, Pastor was in for a single segment to do a reading of the Easter scriptures. And so, as I mentioned, after the service on Sunday, he and I were talking, and we got into a discussion of Romans 1, which I thought was very significant pertaining to the issue at hand. And we were just talking, I guess, really for quite a while there after the service. And it just one thing led to another. And I said, you know what, it's time for you to come back. This is something we need to talk about. So, Pastor, with that introduction, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you take it from there.
Well, James, thank you. It's always an honor to be with you guys, and always an honor to be on the radio. James, what I'm going to do is look at this issue of homosexuality from a spiritual perspective. And I know everybody in your audience is not, everybody's not equally devout. And there may be some folks that are agnostic or not Christian. But for Christians, the issue of homosexuality is laid out very clearly in the scripture. And before I'm going to read a fairly long passage of scripture, but before I do that, I want to talk about how and why it is important for Christians to put weight on the scripture. I believe that the scripture is the inerrant word of God, and there's no mixture of truth in there. It's all true, and we can rely on it. There are folks that want to say a lot of things to discount the scripture. It's been watered down by the church or all these sort of things. And the truth of the matter is, when you get into the academic disciplines, the scriptures are reliable, including the translations that we have today. Well, that having been said, I want to begin to read from Romans 18. And I want you to listen closely. I'm going to read slow so that there'll be time for what I want to share from what the scripture says to sink in. In Romans 18, the scripture says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, having been understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew him, for although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, neither were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like unto corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, to exchange the truth of God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty for their error which is due. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do the things which are not fitting, being filled with all ungodliness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgments of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do they do the same, but they approve of those who practice them. You know, this passage begins by saying we cannot deny the existence of God. It says in the first verses that I read there, and Romans 18, 19, and 20, it says, for God revealed himself to them. It says God has even revealed himself to them in themselves. And you know, James, everybody knows in themselves there is a higher being, there is a God. While different societies worship different sorts of gods, there's not a people anywhere who says there is no God. I've heard it said very often, you can make an atheist out of a man, but a man's not born an atheist. He has to have atheism educated into him. But not only does it say that we can see it in ourselves, we see it in nature around us. And then he goes on to say this very simple thing, because they knew God and did not glorify God, it says that they became futile in their thoughts and and their foolish hearts were darkened. James, that's the linchpin of this whole passage. What it says is that when we reject God, when anybody rejects God, something happens in their mind. When it says they're foolish, they became futile in their thoughts, what it means is literally that their ability to think logically is damaged. Another way to say that is that when you leave God out of the equation, you'll never get the right answer. They cannot come up with 2 and 2 equals 4. They come up with 2 and 2 equals whatever. And we see it all the time. You can confront the liberal who's denied God with the facts about global warming, and they'll say, yeah, but there's still global warming. You can confront them with the facts about the damage that homosexuality does to society, and they say, yeah, but it's a good thing, and we need to embrace it. And we could go right down the list. I've often said it's like a mathematician that says, I don't like the digit 2, and I don't like it so much, I refuse to use it. And if I have, if I'm going to do an equation and the answer comes out, it has a digit 2 in it, I'm just not going to use that digit. Well, how are you going to do math if you take that part out of the equation? How are you going to understand life if you take God out of the equation? It is impossible. It says they lost their ability to reason and their hearts grew dark. Well, that describes what's happened with us, James. But the passage goes on, and three times this passage says the saddest words that have ever been said. It says God gave up on them. I'm going to tell you what. A lot of bad news has been delivered over the year. Somebody's died, a family member, loved one, a child. Somebody's lost everything. Someone's got a terrible disease. And we could think of a lot of terrible things that somebody's come along and said, but without question, the most terrible thing that ever could be said is God gave up on them. But he says when they denied God, they weren't able to think reasonably. Their hearts grew dark, and God gave up on them. Three times it says it. First time it says that God gave them up to their own lust, that they could dishonor their bodies among themselves, and God let them go down that road. And James, we've gone down that road, and the results have been devastating to the family, to our health system. We could go on and on. The second thing that he says God gave them up to is homosexuality. And the last thing that he said God gave them up to is that he gave them up to a mind that is broken.
Pastor, we'll be back with more. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. The Political Cesspool rolls on the Liberty News Radio Network right after this.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Oh, yeah.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool. James Edwards and David Rogers, my pastor, my good friend, lifelong friend. And we're talking about, from a Christian's perspective, of course, this is a political talk show. It's a conservative talk show. But we don't separate our politics from our faith, and we think that's natural and healthy. We're talking about the defense of marriage ruling as handed down by the Supreme Court. I want to read a quick passage here that was sent to me actually a day after I last saw Pastor on Sunday. And it ties in perfectly with the discussion we'd planned to have tonight and, in fact, are having. Here's what he wrote, Pastor. The Supreme Court invalidated the Defense of Marriage Act, tipping their hand for the first of many steps to ratchet our country against the will of many states and 6,000 years of recorded history into accepting homosexual marriage under penalty of law. Already, conservatives are running to their old standbys of pushing for constitutional amendments to remedy the problem, never mind the impossibility of getting two-thirds of the Congress and three-quarters of the states to go along. You can be sure, however, that earnest promises will be made in the next Republican primary. It's clear to me that we are dealing with a Romans 1 situation, and that's what you were talking about during that last segment. We live in a country that elected and then re-elected Barack Hussein Obama, and there's simply no way out except political separation. To paraphrase Benjamin Franklin, we can either have the judgment to separate from the blue states, or we will all be judged together. History knows no other fate for societies who have fallen to this level of moral degeneracy. You can be sure in the coming years that those who hold to traditional morality will be further marginalized as haters and bigots. Many church denominations will either stop talking about the issue or discover, quote-unquote, a new angle on interpreting Scripture in order to accommodate the state religion of equality. It will be a time of testing where people will reveal their true loyalties. Well, first, Pastor, I want you to comment on that, what you agree and perhaps disagree with. We'll take it from there, and then I've got plenty of follow-up questions.
Well, James, if you'll remember, after the last election, I began to say we're over the edge. And I personally don't believe there's any coming back from where we have gone. That's not to say we shouldn't try, but the die is cast. In this letter you just read, he mentioned that Barack Obama was reelected with the horrible mess that he's made of things. But this is what the American people want. Not what I want, but what the majority of the American people want, or at least what they're willing to tolerate in these things, gets back to lost their ability to think logically. And that's where we are.
Well, and Pastor, we were talking about this after church as well last week. You know, we were talking as it applies to this issue and many others. It doesn't matter what the will of the people want. Was it 2004, 2006 when Tennessee voted on a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage? And that word, by the way, you know, has already been perverted. I mean, that's not what gay means, traditionally speaking. You know, I tend to refer to them as homosexuals or sodomites, which is far more a textbook definition. But with the issue of homosexual marriage, you know, 80-90% of Tennesseans voted outright that it would not be allowed here. We know on so many issues now, it doesn't matter if 80 or 90% of the American people want one thing. It's going to be overruled by the stroke of a pen from some liberal judge or even the Supreme Court. So you already have this problem of not being able to vote your way out of a situation. They know what's better for us than we do ourselves, and so they're just going to ramrod it down our throats until we just acquiesce, fall on our swords, and accept it. So you've already got that problem of not being able to control your own destiny through your vote. So that's one. But let me ask you this, Pastor. I mean, I don't know if we've ever talked about this, and so I'd like to ask your opinion on it. I see the influence of Christians waning, the influence of the church waning. Is there anything that Christians can do on this issue? I mean, where is the effectiveness of the once so-called moral majority on this? Without the vote, what can they do?
Well, James, there's really not much we can do. Christians, devout Christians, and I'm not talking about folks that are Christian in name only. I'm talking about people whose lives are committed to the ways of God, to His Word, and living accordingly. James, Christians need to buckle down and get ready. I have lived all of my life in a country where Christianity was, if not, it was not the state religion, but was the preferred religion. And when you said, well, this is what the Bible says, people gave weight to that. We are quickly coming to the place where when you say, I am a Christian, they'll say, well, that's one strike against you. Christianity has been oppressed over the world over the centuries. There's a book called The Book of Martyrs that Christians need to read. Christians are being martyred all over the world today and being persecuted. I wouldn't say that Christians are being persecuted. We're being harassed. But harassment is a prelude to persecution. And you need to get ready. If you're a believer and if you're willing to stand for your beliefs, if you're going to stand up and say, according to the Word of God, I believe this is wrong, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's honesty in business, whether it's personal freedoms, if you stand up and say, because I'm a Christian, this is where I stand, you will join many, many others in the history of the world who have suffered for their faith.
Pastor, you're exactly right. And I know Keith at the top of the hour was talking about the adverse financial ramifications that also come with this. Of course, that's a secondary concern to the big ones, the fact that this behavior is perverted and immoral. It's an abomination. And if you don't believe me, don't take James Edwards' word for it. Look to the Word of God. And of course, people will just say, well, that's just a book of fables and God doesn't exist. And we've progressed past that now. Surely you can't still believe that. And but nevertheless, the media has already tried and won this case as far as they're concerned. In fact, if you turn on any television show, not only is this normal behavior, if you don't accept this, you are indeed a radical, you're a hater, you're a bigot. According to TV, everybody's homosexual, and we've switched places. People like me and you, Pastor, heterosexual males, are single percent portion of the population if you leave it to the media. I remember when the Ellen DeGeneres show first came out, not the talk show she has now, but her sitcom back in the mid-90s, you know, that was still somewhat shocking, but now it's everywhere. And you have people like Tim Tebow. Now, he is considered a radical and an extremist because he'll take a knee in prayer during a football game, whereas you just had this NBA journeyman who came out and declared himself to be the first active player on an NBA roster to be homosexual. And he's getting invited to the White House. He's, you know, going to soirees and galas and Hollywood meetings. And we talk about that, and Pastor, you and I talked about this as well. What nation that has embraced this sort of moral degeneracy has ever stood the test of time? You were talking about this last week.
Well, people are very fond of saying, well, you know, the Romans were homosexual. Well, yeah, they were, just before they fell. Well, the Greeks had a lot of homosexuality. Well, yes, they were, just before they fell. It is the last stage of degeneration before a society falls. You can't avoid the truth of history. You may deny it, but you can't avoid it. It's going to come. And these laws, you know, when homosexuality comes to be accepted, I still don't believe it's the norm today, James. I don't mean to correct you by any means. You're using the word norm. It's not normal. It's just accepted. Most people don't want to have anything to do with it. Most people, if you say, if you go to a man and say, I got a nice guy I'd like you to meet, if you're interested, he's going to say, no. And then he'll say, but not there's anything wrong with that. It's just not for me. Most folks are not interested in this perverse behavior. And people get upset because you use the word perverse. It's perverse. They say, well, I was born this way. How long is it going to be before somebody says, well, I was born, I just like little boys. I'm a man and I like little boys. I was born this way. And you don't have any right to tell me I can't do that. And you say, oh, it won't go that far. Just hang on. It's coming. Where people will say, well, you can't say to this man he did anything wrong just because he's having relationships with a little boy. God made him that way. That's the way he was born. That's the way he came here. You just have to embrace it and deal with it. Under this idea that what I want to do, you know, James, all of us are tempted by different things. I've never been tempted by alcohol. I'm not downing people that have. I know alcohol is a difficulty for some folks. But I've got other things that tempt me. If you think I'm going to tell you what they are, you're wrong. I'm not. But for me to say, well, I have a natural disposition toward this particular sin. Therefore, it's okay for me to engage. God made me this way. I was born like this. Therefore, it's okay for me to engage in whatever my particular sin is, whatever my chosen sin is.
We got another segment with the pastor. I wish we had another hour because I still got a lot on the table for him. Stay tuned and we'll wrap it up in a second.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Welcome back to Get On The Show. Call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. James Edwards and David Rogers, my pastor. You know, I do love this guy, folks. Not only is he right on the money, politically speaking, and there's a few issues where Pastor and I disagree, and as far as I'm concerned, that's only strengthened our fellowship and respect for one another. You know, so often in our circles, you have to agree with everybody 100% of the time on 100% of the issues, or they are you can't work with them. And I don't go for that. But here in the radio studio where we sit, I got a picture of me and my wife on our wedding day, and standing there in the middle of us is my guest tonight. He married us. He's buried everyone that's ever been dear to me. He's been there anytime I've needed him for a lifetime, and I love him for it. And he's here with us tonight as our guest, Pastor David Rogers. Pastor, we're talking about the embrace of the American media and our governmental elites to the perversion of sodomy, how they're ramrodding that down on a formerly Christian nation's throat, despite the fact that the vast majority of Americans in between California and New York are absolutely diametrically opposed to this agenda. But still they come. It's talking about the media. Just in the days after the Supreme Court announced their decision, I don't know if you've seen this yet, Pastor, but that's the cover of the New Yorker magazine. Bert and Ernie have come out of the closet now. And so you see Bert and Ernie cuddling as they watch the a picture of the Supreme Court on their television. And this is a great moment for our kids, a moment we can all celebrate, said the Muppets. And or the magazine that featured this cover. So again, you know, sodomy is now a virtue to be extolled. Traditional Christian values are extremist and radical. Something is a little backwards about that framing by the establishment media. But you know, we've talked about this a lot, Pastor. I'd like to get your take on it. Two questions. I'll make it two parts and try to answer both. I know it's hard to answer a two-part question. Do you foresee the day coming when the government will attempt to force churches to perform homosexual marriages, so-called homosexual marriages? And number two, what about the so-called churches that already embrace sodomy? I mean, you have churches, so-called churches, that have reverends and ministers that are homosexual. Those two questions.
Let me answer the second one first, James. There's a line from an old Christian spiritual that says everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Everybody that says they're a pastor or a minister or a reverend or whatever title you want to put on it, and that's just a piece of paper. If you're in a church that embraces homosexuality, I have some advice for you. Get out. You say, well, you know, no church is perfect. No, it's not. But that's a step too far. We've come to the place where we would say, well, it's okay if the minister or church leader is having sexual relations with another man or woman. But if you had a pastor or church leader that was involved in an illicit heterosexual relationship, you'd kick him out. At least if you didn't, you ought to. It's not right. Find a church that believes in the Word of God, not just thinks it's a nice concept, but believes in doing what it says. And James, I got all fired up about that. I forgot the first question.
That was a great answer. And we've talked about that a lot. I wanted to get it from a pastor's perspective because you know that these churches exist, many of them here in Memphis. Do you see the day now where the government will force churches to perform homosexual marriage? I mean real churches.
Well, yeah. You know, they're trying to force different things on the Catholic Church. And, of course, what they've done is they've gone after the biggest church first. They try to force homosexual acts, homosexual benefits on them, try to force birth control on them. Personally, I don't have any problem with the right kind of birth control, but I do think you ought to respect those who do. And the Catholic Church is diametrically opposed to that, and for the government to force that down their throat is wrong. If they'll force one concept down a church's throat, they'll force the other. And what they'll do is they'll come in and say, well, we're going to take away your tax-exempt status. Personally, I don't have a real big problem with that. My church has enjoyed a tax-exempt status for years, and it has helped us to do a lot of things we couldn't have done otherwise. However, tax exemption for the church is not a biblical concept. That's a concept that we got out of our separation of church and state in the United States Constitution. But if the Constitution that gave that right, if the government that gave it to us decides to take it away, then they have the power to do that. What they can't take away are the God-given rights that are set out in the Declaration of Independence. Declaration of Independence is very clear that our rights don't come from the government. They come from God. It's our privileges, oftentimes, that come from the government. But the day is going to come, James, when they'll say, if you don't perform this, we're going to revoke your ordination. We're going to not allow your church to have a tax-exempt status. We're going to, they may even do more than just revoke your tax-exempt status. They may come and levy fines and other sorts of penalties against the church. And in my opinion, that is coming and it's not that far away.
Well, the interview certainly didn't get happier or more encouraging as it's progressed, Pastor. And I guess I'd like to, well, real quick. No, I don't even think we have time to get into that because I want to be sure to work this in, and time is fleeting. We've identified this as a problem. It is a problem. I think it's a problem. Not a, you know, this is a conservative talk show. It's not a religious show per se, but it is a Christian show because all of the hosts are Christians, and we don't separate our faith from our politics. I say that every week, it seems. And I know inevitably there are listeners who don't share our faith, and that's okay, because whether you're a Christian or not, you really shouldn't be on the opposite side of the fence with us on this issue. That being said, and we focused on, we've punctuated the dreariness, if you will, and it's certainly not looking good right now. I'm going to ask you the impossible question, Pastor, with the 2 minutes, 3 minutes we have left, and that is, what are we going to do about it? What can we do about it? Now, as I mentioned to you in the last commercial break, you could write out the perfect prescription. You could write out a prescription that would solve the problem tomorrow. All you got to do is just get every decent thinking person to go out and follow your advice and implement the strategy, which, of course, will never happen. So asking somebody what to do and actually getting it done is two totally different things, even if it was spot on. But what hope can we have, Pastor? We already know that we can't vote our way out of this mess. A liberal judge is going to overrule it. What hope can Christians have moving forward, and all decent people?
Well, first of all, James, Winston Churchill went before the British people in the darkest days of World War II, and we're all familiar with what he said. He got on the radio and he said, never, 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 never give up. Never give up. We cannot give up, and we cannot give up hope. I love this country. This country has nurtured me and done so many things for me, given me so many wonderful opportunities that other countries do not afford their citizens, and I love America. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm proud of America. I've always been proud of America, unlike Michelle. I've been proud of America all of my life, and I love this country. For Christians, what do we do? First of all, you continue to fight the good fight. You don't ever lay down. You don't ever quit. You don't ever give up. The second thing is, as believers, as Christians, you need to get as close to God as you can possibly get. The scriptures tell us this. They say that the time of our redemption is closer today than it ever has been. And ultimately, we are not dependent on what God on what the government does. We're not dependent on what the majority votes for or how Congress goes this session or next. We're dependent on what God does. And God is able. He's the same God that he was when our founding fathers called on him for guidance. And just like they called on him for guidance, we need to call on him for guidance today. There is an answer. The answer is not, we've not yet seen what God is going to do. We've not yet seen how he will take care of us in adverse and difficult times. But this one thing I assure you is that he will. And that's not my word, that's his. And he's never failed us. He never will, and the future for those who walk close with him is brighter than it ever has been.
Well, Pastor, you did the impossible. You rebounded the conversation of the last hour and ended it on a not just an uplifting note, but one that was rooted in truth. And I appreciate you for that. And I tell you, I don't know if you're in the market to begin a radio ministry, but I would sure love to have you back on a little more frequently than we've done in the past. It's always, well, first of all, it's always enriching and rewarding to spend time with you for any reason. And when we can reach a few people together, that's even better. And certainly this this forum and venue gives us the opportunity to do that. I had a great time with you tonight, and we'll look forward to doing it again soon. Pastor David Rogers, everybody, spread the word. And when we come back, third and final hour, still forthcoming, And we're going to shift our attention and talk with a gentleman who is going to offer his take on energy. We have a so-called energy crisis out there. Well, how can that be solved? And how can we kill two birds with one stone? He's going to be talking about energy and immigration, a pretty unique thesis that undoubtedly you had not heard before until tonight. So stay tuned for that in the third and final hour. And again, go to our website for all the news we've been tracking this week. I'm James Edwards, and I'll be back with the third and final hour right after this on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.